This is Pastor Adam Lawson, First Apostolic Church of Shepherdsville. Thank you for tuning into our podcast, and thank you for your support. We hope you enjoy today's message. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Last week, I had the opportunity to welcome somebody into the kingdom of God. Amen. Been around for a little while and had no idea that he'd never been baptized in Jesus' name. I don't know if you would make your way right on up here. Amen. I'm going to come down there with you. Praise God. You could have scrunched down a little bit to make me look a little taller. Doggone it. Amen. I'm so thankful for that. You know, there's something happens when you go down in that water. Ma'am, sir, it's different. When you take that plunge, everything changes. Anybody know anything about that change? My God. I'll never forget the day. Amen. Sunday school classes, you may be dismissed in Jesus' name. I want to take your attention to Romans chapter 13, verses 11 and 12. Love all these babies. My goodness. Romans 13, 11, and 12 says this, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." Today I want to preach for just a little while on this subject, an awakening. An awakening. If you would, set your Bible down. We're going to pray one more time. Jesus, we love you, and we're so thankful to be in your house. Lord, I pray that you would give us ears to hear, hearts to receive, minds to comprehend what thus saith the Lord. I pray that every single wall would be torn down, every imagination be brought into captivity, and that, Lord God, just for the next little while, we would allow you to speak to our hearts. I pray, God, that you would anoint my lips of clay and help me to deliver this message the way that you gave it to me. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're going to preach with me, shout amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. This is one of the exhortations of Paul as he starts to conclude his Roman letter. In fact, we can determine that this is one of the things that's attached to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, when he pleads the Roman church to not let themselves be conformed to the world. And I will read. He's looking at the Roman church and he's saying, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Amen. There are matters that Paul realized that would help each and every person who's trying to live for God do that to their utmost ability. Number one, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Understand that we live a sacrificial life when we live for God. How many of us lived a sacrificial life in the world where we would party all night and get up the next day and go to work? Anybody other than me? Absolutely, we sure would, and we wouldn't think nothing of it. The same thing is true in the kingdom of God. We need to put our best foot forward. Amen. Don't be conformed to this world. I don't care what the world says is the latest trend. I'm going to conform to His word. Because the world is going to change their mind. How many of us have had friends till they weren't our friends no more? But the Lord is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Renew your mind, He said. Think about things differently. You know, I used to think this and that was acceptable. But when I came to God, I come to realize that that's not so good. I probably ought to stick with what the Bible says. Amen. Discern the will of God. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to. Well, I'll just leave that right there. Don't think that you're all that and a Happy Meal toy. Because we are all saved by the grace and the glory of God. If it wasn't for Him, wouldn't none of us be worth killing? Amen. Think soberly. Be careful where you let your mind wander to. Not all thoughts are great. Serve, teach, exhort, give, lead. Listen to this one. Let your love be genuine. Let it not be predicated on what you've done for me. Look, I'm going to meddle here for right now. See, a lot of us get mixed up on what love is. I'll love you if you do this. I'll love you if you do that. But what about we just love people because Jesus loves them and I ought to love them also? What about that? What about in spite of everything going on in your life, I still love you? You know why? Because He first loved me. Abhor what is evil. Don't entertain evil things. How many of us have our eyes caught something that was not pleasing or was just flat out evil and we had to turn away? Anybody other than me? Absolutely. Don't entertain it. Don't let your mind settle on it. Rejoice. Show honor to others. Show brotherly love. Don't be slothful. Don't be lazy. That's what I'm saying. Don't be lazy. Amen. Amen. Be fervent in your spirit. Be on fire for God. Look, I'm going to tell you, when I was in the world, I was on fire. I'm not trying to glorify that lifestyle at all, but I can tell you this, I'm going to be more on fire inside the church. I'm going to tell everybody about Jesus. I'm going to tell about how He saved me, how He healed me, how He delivered me, how He loosed the bonds that had me locked up, how I don't have to live like I used to live. Amen? Rejoice. Be patient. This is one that some of us struggle with. Anybody struggle with being patient other than me? Can I tell you? Oh, boy. Be patient with yourself. Be patient with yourself. You didn't get to where you are overnight. So it's going to take a minute to turn it around. Be patient with yourself. You're going to mess up. I would have to take my shoes off, too, to count all the times I've messed up. Just be patient. Be patient with others like you'd want them to be patient with you. How many of us have got impatient with others? How many of us does it happen real often when we're driving? Amen. Pray. That seems like an obvious one, but how many of us, and I don't want you to raise your hand on this one because I don't want you to incriminate yourself, have found ourselves at the point where sometimes we don't make time in the day to pray? It seems like, look, I'm telling you, the Lord wants to communicate with you, and He's a great listener if you'll talk to Him. Give to those in need. There's going to be times where there's going to be somebody that has a greater need than you. Don't be afraid to give to them. Bless and don't curse. Weep with those who weep. Don't be wise in your own sight. Don't repay evil with evil. Eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth leaves the whole world blind and toothless. You don't look, I'm going to tell you. Somebody got themselves in trouble this weekend. There were two grandkids arguing. And one of the grandparents said, well, just go outside and fight it out and figure it out. And you know what the grandchild said? But you said two wrongs don't make a right. We got humbled that day. Don't repay evil with evil. Give thought to do what is honorable inside of the others. Not just so they can see you, but they can see God through you. Understand that you're the only Jesus some people are going to see. What is the glimpse of the Lord that they get? Is it somebody that's rude and nasty, or is it somebody that's willing to go out of their way to help somebody? Is it somebody who's going to be kind and patient and have joy? Can I tell you, I hate it when I run into a Christian and they look like they've been baptized in pickle juice. Well, praise the Lord. Yeah, I've got this going wrong and that going wrong, but blessed be the name of the Lord. No, instead, let's just be happy. Let's have real, true joy. Amen? Because the God I serve, it may not be worked out right now. How many of us got problems right now? How many of us know that God's going to work it out? See, that's the difference, because I know that the Lord is going to work it out. So because I know that, I can have joy. I can walk around with a song on my lips because I know God is going to work it out. Okay, I'm going to get ugly here. Live peaceably. Don't start nothing. There won't be nothing. Amen? Live peaceably with people. You don't have to have the last word. You don't even have to engage in a fight. Be kind to your enemies. This is all things Paul's saying in the scripture right here. Be subject to govern authorities and owe no man anything. Amen? All of these words of Paul, as he leads up to this, that it is high time for all men to come out of their state of sleep. We often discover that we can be asleep with our eyes wide open. We can be walking through life completely oblivious to everything that's going on around us. That we are not aware. How many of us have ever drove somewhere and didn't even realize how we got there? Don't remember the trip there. We can be awake with or asleep with our eyes wide open. You can go to sleep on life. As a matter of fact, there are 1,000 different ways that you can medicate yourself so you don't see the potential of life. Mindless entertainment. I watch. Anybody ever seen somebody walk into a wall or something playing a video game on their phone? I have. Just completely engrossed in what they're doing. Materialism, the search for one more thing. If I just have this Raptor truck, I'll be okay. If I just have this new Corvette, I'll be okay. If I have this new PlayStation, I'll be okay. If I can get Mama this vacation, I'll be okay. We get all these things, and it can numb our souls to the needful things. We can withdraw into depression. And just isolate ourselves from everybody, because if I don't talk to anybody and I don't go out, I can't get hurt. I'm preaching somebody today. If I can just withdraw, I can't get hurt in my house. If I just never go out of the house, I can't get hurt. Ain't nobody can hurt me there. I'm safe there. Sometimes you can numb and go to sleep on life by nursing a grudge. I still remember what that person did to me. I'll never get over it. And then you start holding on to the bitterness of the past. You know, there were some sleepers in the Bible that went to sleep at the most inopportune time, because when they went to sleep, they missed out. You see, Jacob went to sleep in Genesis 28. And when he woke up, he realized he missed God. Samson lost his strength while he was sleeping. Understand, he fell asleep in the lap of Delilah, the place where he should have never been. And in the midst of that, he lost every bit of his strength. Jonah slept through a storm that nearly sank the ship he was on because he was running from God. Peter, James, and John slept in Gethsemane when the Lord needed them most. All he wanted those three to do was pray with him for just a little while, because he knew it was coming. And they couldn't stay awake for just those last few hours. Wonder how many times the Lord has beckoned us to prayer and we fell asleep in the midst. If you've been around the church any length of time, you know the story about the prodigal son. He's one of the most powerful examples of an awakening that we've ever heard. It's in Luke 15, and Jesus related this parable. And for the most part, there are only three main characters in the parable and a few minor ones. It's a young man who is a fool. He sees the lights and everything going on in the city. And he looks at his father and he says, give me what's mine. I'm going to go really live life now. I'm going to go live it up in the city. You just give me what's mine and I'll be on my way. I want you to notice the father did just that. He divided his portion of the inheritance to him and he allowed him to go on his way. He spends himself silly until everything is gone and he finds himself in a hog pen. Luke 15 and 15 says this, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, because no man gave unto him. I'm not foolish enough to think that there's some of us that haven't experienced that. That all of our friends were there with us while the going was good, but once the going got bad, they left. That's where the prodigal finds himself. But can I tell you, that is the greatest place the prodigal could have ever went. The reason why is because in the midst of the slop, in the midst of the mud and the filth and all of this, an awakening began. Luke 15 and 17 says this, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. How many, the servants are doing better than I am right now, and I'm his kid. And here I am, I blew everything. I blew it. Some observations that we can take about this young man's life. I've already mentioned it once. One thing about awakenings is they don't come very often. And if you ain't careful, you'll miss it. There's some times where that one opportunity comes and the Lord is calling you and he wants to take you to the place that he's already ordained for you. You see, Jeremiah 1 and 5 says this, that before I formed thee in the belly, I knew you. And then he goes on in 29 and 11 that I know my thoughts towards you. So he already had something planned. But he will not compete with our human will. But he'll give us another opportunity. You'll discover, according to Scripture, that there's only one awakening that ever came to the prodigal. There are times that the Lord and life will come to us in an effort to wake us up. To shake us back to awakened state from where we are. Don't waste opportunities when the Lord's trying to move you forward into something greater. Some of you are at that place right now. You've asked God, God, I can't do this no more. If you will help me, I will walk with you. If you'll help me, God, I'll take the next steps, but God, I don't know what to do. Don't miss the awakening in life and be careful that you try not to destroy the vehicle that the awakening came on. You see, Abraham only had one opportunity to offer Isaac. Rahab only had one opportunity to hang a scarlet thread out a window. David only had one opportunity to kill Goliath. Elijah only faced the Carmel showdown once. Paul only had one Damascus Road experience where he was knocked off his high horse. And let me tell you something. Sometimes that's what needs to happen. We got to get knocked off our high horse so the Lord can deal with us. Sometimes we have to come to that place where we are knocked down and blinded so the Lord can deal with us. Jesus only had one cross to endure, and the prodigal only had one hog pen that he had to live through. And more often than not, most men can look back at their lives and realize that there was one trial, one circumstance that changed everything. There's one place I went to, and it changed everything. Am I talking to anybody in here today that there was that one place that God knew that I had to go in order to change my life around? And it was my opportunity to walk in the fullness of Him. Certainly there were other trials that we get through, but there's that one that we know that we woke up in. And sadly, there's a lot of prodigals who decided to make the best of their hog pens. Can I tell you, if you have found yourself in an uncomfortable position today, you don't have to stay there. If there is so much more if you will take the step. There is so much more if you would realize that this is an opportunity. God has taken time in your life to set a crossroads where you can decide what your destiny looks like. I also make this observation about awakenings. They usually take place in very miserable settings. They usually happen in the worst places. It's usually in our pain, our loss, our mistake, our weakness that an awakening takes place. Rarely is it a place where you're doing good, where prosperity's abounding, where you've got plenty of money in the bank and your health is good and everything's going right. It rarely happens there. Think about King Agrippa, almost outpersuaded me to be a Christian, but he was too well off to even consider a life of servitude. But here we are in a place of uncomfortability where God says, I've got more for you. I've brought you to this place because I want you to see there is more. It's usually when we're backed up by adversity and it seems that the very thing we're going through is choking the very life out of us. And then you find yourself prevailing because the Lord steps in. When men and women find themselves backed into corners that only failure could have pushed them into, it's moments like that that we wake up and realize there has to be another way. Miserable places have put more men into awakenings than anything else on this planet. There are times that God uses miserable places to put good men in a place of opportunity, to awaken something deep down inside that's been sleeping for way too long. Can I tell you, God loves you. The Lord, I'm telling you, it is no coincidence that you're here today. Not one person in this house. And some of you are going through the trial of your life and you don't see a way out. But God has put you here today to let you know that you're going through an awakening. That your reality right now does not have to be your destiny. You have been brought right here, right now, for this time. More times than not, we waste so much energy fighting to remove ourselves from a miserable situation when that's exactly what God called us to, so we'll wake up out of our own flesh and realize that we need God to step in. You see, you can come to yourself when you feel like life has you by the throat. You can come to yourself when you feel like all your money's evaporated. You can come to yourself when you start trying to improve yourself and it seems like there's no help. And you start criticizing yourself and your miserable setting. You see, if you'll quit doing that, if you'll quit looking at where you are and look up toward heaven, God's got a plan for you. And He's put you in this place for this moment so He can elevate you. But you've got to realize that there has to be an awakening. You can come to yourself in the middle of marital strife. You can come to yourself in the middle of addiction. You can come to yourself in the middle of depression. You can come to yourself in the middle of bankruptcy. You can come to yourself in the middle of failure. You see, God, He specializes in that. Every time you see God call somebody, there is a crisis happening. Moses was put in the Nile with a bunch of alligators and God intervened. Saul, who changed his name to Paul, was knocked off his high horse. He thought he had everything together until he was knocked off his donkey and blinded. And there was a voice from heaven that said, "Paul, Paul, why persecutest thou me?" And he said, "It's I, Jesus. Why are you kicking against the pricks? Why are you doing what you're doing? Quit trying to fight against me." All too often we try to fight against the Lord when he's reaching down to help us up, and we don't like the vehicle he's coming in. Can I tell you, awakenings will cause you to know who you are. They don't come very often, but when they do, when he came to himself, he suddenly, the prodigal suddenly discovered his identity in the middle of a slop pen, in the middle of eating husk that the hogs had in their jaws just a minute ago. He come to the realization, "I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of my Father. There's more bread to eat at the house than my servant. His servants have more to eat than I have." He come to himself. The prodigal could have let his surroundings wipe out all potential, but he began to remember that my Father has more than enough. Can I tell you today, the Lord still has more than enough for you, and he's just waiting for you to make your way out of the hog pen and back to the house. He has never left you, nor has he forsaken you. He's just waiting on you. And here's the thing about God. We find this in the Garden of Eden. The Bible says that he put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the forbidden tree, in the midst of the garden. Y'all had Bible study on this recently, didn't you? Why did he put it in the middle of the garden? If it was the tree that could destroy them, why put it in the middle? Why not put it in an obscure part of the land where they wouldn't think to go? Because he wanted to give them the opportunity and the choice. They could either abstain from the tree and live forever, or they could partake of the tree and know death, because those were the choices. Today we have a choice. We can continue living the way that we always have and get what we've always got, or we can step into the newness of Christ Jesus and let him take control. But the beautiful thing about it is it's all up to me or you. I can't keep you from serving God, neither can I make you serve God. The choice is yours. You see, the prodigal could have let the mud that had gotten him dirty keep him from going back to the house. "Well, I'm too dirty now. I can't go back to the Father's house looking like this. Look at me. I'm a mess." But yet he got up and he went going. Can I tell you that you cannot let your past dictate where God can take you to? You cannot allow what happened yesterday to determine what God can do in your life. He could have let the grunts and the squeals of the hogs drown out the voice that was calling deep within him. I'm going to tell you, there's some associations that you have that are not from God, that are trying to hold you back. Can I tell you, if they're not thrusting me into the will of God, I'm going to cut them off, because I want everything that God has for me. I am not looking to succumb to the opinions of men. I want to hear the opinion of God for me. He could have allowed the misery of his past mistakes and choices to stop where he needed to go. He could have gave in to the mindset that said, "It's just more comfortable here. I don't have to do anything. Yeah, it's not so great, but I'm going to have to get up, and I'm going to have to come to grips with what I've become." He could have just gave up. But awakenings like this cause us to see ourselves for who we really are. And to know who we really are. And there's one more observation that I want to make about awakenings. They come to us when we're alone. When it seems like nobody else is around. You see, that prodigal was in that hog pen alone, save the pigs all around him. There was no man. The people that used to party with him, they weren't there. The citizen he joined himself wasn't even there with him. He just sent him out to be by himself. Can I tell you, that's the way the world will do you. when you've been used all up by the world, they'll send you out to be by yourself and alone. But that's where God met with him. You see, while all of his friends he had bought with money were gone and the citizen was gone, God was there in the midst. Can I tell you something? Don't be afraid to be alone. Because that's where God does his greatest work, is when it's just you and him. That's where he can have the deepest conversations with you, is when it's just you and God. That's where God can equip you for what he has to do in your life. Can I tell you, you were meant for more. You were made for more than where you are today. You were made for more than just existing. God has a plan for you, but you got to understand that in your loneliness, God is right there. And all you have to do is call out, and he will hear your voice. The most spiritual, mental, emotional, and material progress will be made when you're by yourself long enough to really see what's going on around you and who you've surrounded yourself with. Have you ever sat and thought about your situation, about the people that are around you, about the people that once took up so much of your life that now, when things are tough, they're nowhere around? You start to take mental notes of that when you're by yourself. That's an awakening process. When God fully begins to awaken you, you'll spend some time alone. Don't be afraid of it. God wants to pull you aside to talk to you. And the result of awakening is this. He said, I will arise and go to my Father's house. There is nothing like the will of somebody who's been convinced. Anybody ever set your mind to do something and then you did it until it was done? You can do this. Living for God, you can do this. I know it's not like anything that you've ever experienced in your life, but there was a first time you drove a car. There was a first time you rode a bicycle. There was a first time that you did a lot of things. Can I tell you, when you begin to walk with God, it becomes easier. When you put your whole self in it, you'll begin to take step after step after step, and before long, you'll be walking in the joy of the Lord, and you'll see things start to turn, but you have to arise to look at your neighbor and tell him to get up and start walking. All of the sudden, when this young man got up, he discovered that there was more to life and that this wasn't the end. What he said was, I'm a better man than this. I have something resting in my soul that's bigger than this hog pen, and I've come through too much to quit now. Can I tell you, how many of us have had some really bad days where we thought it was just going to be over? Amen. Some days where we thought that we wasn't going to make it to see the next morning. Can I remind you of something? You're undefeated. You are undefeated against your worst days. When you make your mind up, you're going to get up to see another day. When you make your mind up, there's nothing going to hold you back. You are undefeated against your worst days. What could you walk into if you walked hand in hand with Jesus into tomorrow? I have a dream down deep inside that has tripped on my mistakes. I have a destiny to fulfill. I have to get out of this hog pen. You see, when your will kicks in, you will win the battle in your mind. When you have a made-up mind, the thoughts the enemy places can't win because you have a made-up mind. When you put your whole self into something, you will succeed as long as you have the hand of Jesus. You have to get up, and then you have to go, and you'll say, I'll arise and go, and I will say. That was the conversation that was taking place in the hog pen. You have to practice where you're going before you get there. You have to already see where you're going when you get there. Tell me, what does your life look like 5 years from now, 3 months from now? What does it look like? How do you see your life? And you begin speaking it. You begin living it. You begin acting as if it's already come to place. I'm going to tell you, when you learn how to do that, when you learn how to arise, awaken, arise, and walk, things begin to change. Even though, look, on his way to the Father's house, there was still mud on him. On his way to the Father's house, he probably had the stench of the hog pen on him. But can I tell you, when he walked up, the Father met him out in the road. He ran toward him. He said, "Fix a fatted calf. We're going to eat tonight." Because the Father was excited to see him. And he was restored. Too many of us get to, and I'm guilty of this. I was guilty of this. We think, "I've gone too far. I've done too much. I failed too badly. I failed too many times." The Father's waiting. He's got his ring. He's waiting to put it back on you. He's waiting on you to awaken in the hog pen. You have to get up. Exodus 3:12 says this, "Certainly, I am with you." Joshua 1:6, "I will not leave you. I will not fail you. I will not forsake you." I feel to stop right here. I felt this thought. So many people have walked out on me when things got tough. Can we lift our hands right now? Close your eyes and lift your hands. Yes, people have walked out on you, but I promise